Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, did you know that the Torture Pod has merch? Yeah, over at redbubble.com/people/torturepod, we have a whole bunch of different items that you can wear, adorn on your phone or your computer or your car to show your love for torture. We have Brazen Bull t-shirts. You can have the torture logo on a mug. Guild Array on Hat Day on a hat. If that's what you choose. Welcome to La Tumba shower curtains. I mean, literally, anything you want. iPhone cases with sort your fucking life out on them. I mean, how much better does it get? And remember, all Pride merch sold, profits go directly to the Trevor Project. So you're also helping people in the process of showing your love for the podcast. So go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod. And as all the kids these days say, get your fit on, bro. I don't know if that's what they say or not. I'm not cool. The subject of today's episode is a device that had more names than places where it was used. Going all the way back to the persecution of the Christians, we'll see it work its way through its sparse use in the early Middle Ages and its resurgence in the 1400s, where it was used on blasphemers, thieves, and witches, into the early modern period, when it was used as a secondary tool during interrogations in conjunction with more famous instruments of torment that we have discussed previously. It consisted of metal fingers on the end of a long handle, used hot or cold, to tear and rip at the flesh of the arms, legs, and back. Known as the iron claw, the greaves, the ungula, the penza, and according to the internet, the Spanish tickler. Well, until that page was deleted. Today, we give you the cat's paw. I'm Kevin Young.
Line.
I'm Dan Horgan. I'm Dan Horgan.
Dan Horgan. Yes. Yeah. Let's go one more time. I can feel it. Get it right this time.
Cut. Print. Go to print. We'll fix it in post. This is torture. Woo. All right. You know, it's sad. You talk about line. My son came over Thanksgiving Thursday, all excited. He's like, I want to tell you all about the play I'm going to be in. Like, fuck yeah, tell me about the play. Plays in like May, March or May or some shit like that for school. And he's telling me about it, and he's like, I'm scared to tell grandma and grandpa. I'm like, why? He goes, well, you know how they are. It's like, about what? He goes, oh, well, my character's gay. It's like, oh, fuck. It's like, well, don't tell them. To let them be pleasantly surprised when they show up at the play. And I could watch the look on my mom's face.
It's a great idea.
It is. Fucking shit.
Oh, God. Sherlock. Thespians have always been up to that shit. So,
yeah,
you know, for the longest time, all women were actors and it was only men playing women. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
He's got like three roles in the thing, and he's an understudy because hardly anybody went out for the play or some shit like that. So he's got to play like three different people in the play. So, I mean, so one of them's gay. Statistically, one of them would have to be. If he's playing three characters,
that's fair.
Statistically, one of them's going to have to be gay. It's just the way it is. Fuck. Well, what's up, man? How you doing?
Ah, good. You know yourself.
Yeah. Work.
Yeah. Work and tired and all that stuff. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I got a Sonic now, though.
Yeah. A Sonic? Oh, yeah. Still haven't seen any of the movies.
Can you see him? He's so fast.
Yeah. Have not seen any of the movies. I hear nothing but good things, but still haven't seen them. I don't know.
I watched the first one. That was really good.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the rest. I loved the cartoon of it, though, and as a kid. It was like, was it 90s it came out in?
Yeah. Yeah, Steve Urkel doing the voice. Yeah.
So good. Googling it right now.
Yeah.
I just had to roll Edgehog instead. So it's the emo version of him. He has like a fringe coming down.
It takes you to fucking Pornhub, and it's just Sonic almost getting there. Yeah. He's the Edgehog.
Yeah. I'm 6 feet close to the edge. I'm thinking.
Oh, fuck.
Gosh, you're Sonic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those who got big into, like, all the Sonics after the original couple Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, when Knuckles and Tails were there, I was still. But then they have, like, a million other characters that show up after that, like Shadow or some shit. Like, I never got
it. Yeah, and then there's the like, pink one.
Yeah. Yeah, I never played that far into it. But I did like the first, you know, couple on the original Sega. Yes, I'm that old. I
liked them. Yeah, sure. Remember,
yeah.
I had the first 3D one.
Okay.
It was out in a Dreamcast, and it was good, but it wasn't a patch on it. I think it's funny I'm talking about this, considering my background's Mario, but with Hello Kitty on it.
Hello Kitty Mario.
yeah. But, yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know why I said it like that. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed all. I loved all the original ones, all right. And the other one that came out, I can't remember the name of it now. It might have just been called Sonic 3D or something. I probably have to look it up. It was very good. Yeah, but it wasn't a patch on them. So they were trying to follow in the footsteps of when Mario 64 came out, you see.
Yeah. Well, and then that was with like with the Sega CD and all that shit. And when they tried to get, and it just that flopped. And because they got so fucking hot, I remember somebody had a Sega CD and we were playing it. And we were like, okay, we gotta shut it down for like half an hour and let a fan blow on it, or it's gonna burn up. God, well, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, the Dreamcast has suffered from overheating all the time as well. It's just its downfall. But aside from the fact that like, well, it was actually really far ahead of its time. So like graphically and everything, it was absolutely amazing. But
yeah, they're going to fix the other stuff in it.
Well, that's it. It everything was so expensive for it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the most expensive consoles going at the time by quite an amount.
Yeah, once they get to that point and then PlayStation comes out, it doesn't overheat if you, you know, don't have it covered up with a blanket or some shit like that. If you just have it out in the open the way you're supposed to, let air get to it. It doesn't overheat, and you can play PlayStation for fucking days without shutting it off. And then, you know, it just kind of took everything over. You know, and that's when I turned into a Crash Bandicoot man. So big on
Crash. Crash is a good game.
I played Crash Bandicoot Racing with listening to Make Yourself by Incubus, I think, for probably 39,000 hours.
Nice.
That's all I did. I'd wake up in the morning in the summertime, and I'd turn on Make Yourself, and I'd turn on Crash Bandicoot Racing, and I'd just sit there and fucking play. That's all I did for like an entire summer. And it was one of the best summers of my life. I loved it. No interaction with people other than the two or three friends I actually had that came over every once in a while. It's fucking great.
Yeah, that's the way to have it, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be like that. I had this whole thing where certain bands remind you of certain games.
Uh-huh, yep.
You know? So I had that with... I went through a massive Spine Shank phase.
Oh.
And that was all Resident Evil at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see. Twisted Metal was Rob Zombie and Korn. Played Twisted Metal a lot. Listened to those bands. Crash Bandicoot was Incubus. Fuck, I know there's a handful of others. I'd have to, like, when I listen to the albums, that moment will kind of like pop up in my head. Stabbing Westward was this one game with unicycles on the old, I want to say it was Nintendo 64. But it was just these unicycles that raced one another. And I remember because one of my friends was a huge Stabbing Westward fan at the time, and that's all he played. So he played like the entire Stabbing Westward album. And then we played this at his like 16th birthday party overnight. And then anytime I hear anything from Stabbing Westward, all I think about is that fucking unicycle game.
I think I'm like that with the Nirvana Unplugged album. I can't listen to that without thinking of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Okay. Zelda is one of those games I never really was able to get into. We had the gold cartridge original NES, and my brother played that thing for fucking hours, and I tried playing it. I was like, this is just kind of boring.
I loved Ocarina. I tried a couple of years, and I didn't really get into them as much. You know what I mean?
I've heard Ocarina of Time is like the best one.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. It was. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I can't really compare it to the others. You know,
Right,
it's like that with like Final Fantasy, let's say. You know, I know there's this whole thing people say it's like the very first Final Fantasy you ever play is always going to be your favorite one. But I just loved 7 so much, and I have played, actually, to tell the truth, I actually have really played an awful lot of them at this stage.
Yeah.
But they're all vastly different as well, though. You know, but yeah, that was still definitely my favorite one. Yeah. See, Streets of Rage. Oh yeah.
Oh, Road Rash. God, I love that fucking game.
Oh, that was great. You didn't need to stick music on the background of that.
No, it was fucking. It was like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. You don't need to put on an album. You listen to the fucking soundtrack while you're playing it.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fucking great.
So doing that got me into one of my favorite bands when I was playing skate. So, first time I ever heard Dinosaur Jr. was skate.
Okay. I was wondering if that was who it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you find stuff you love later on just through happenstance like that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Well, people are going, "Oh, there's enough banter. I don't like the banter.
Let's talk about Dungeons and Dragons." Where's my dice?
Show doesn't start till 12 minutes in. All right, well then let's fucking just get to it. Dan, let's take you back to the summer of 1550.
That's the year Dungeons and Dragons was invented.
Pretty much. In Via, Germany, you are a middle-aged farmer's wife, and you have been described as quarrelsome, brash, resentful, and have been heard allegedly uttering curses during arguments. So
that's
kind of like me. Yeah. I'm definitely brash. So when a devastating fire sweeps through the village and destroys several homes without sophisticated fire investigation strategies, two causes are almost immediately pointed to. Arson or witchcraft.
Witches.
Yeah. And due to your sparkling reputation, the finger is finally pointed your way. You are formally arrested and taken to Edingen, the regional judicial center. The judges were already convinced that the fire was your doing, but they still believed a confession was required before sentencing. You obviously refuse, so they resort to what we would now call advanced interrogation methods. You are taken to a room inside the courthouse, stripped down to your waist, and tied to a frame, with your arms tied above you and your back exposed to the room. You are told, "Bekennen," or confess. You again refuse, probably expecting a whip or a cane to then thrash your back. But instead, you hear one of the men in the room say the terrifying words, "Schnapp dir die Eisenklausen." Then you turn to see the man grab a long, thin piece of metal, at the end what looks like to be a hand with fingers extended. The cold, hard iron is pressed against your warm, soft flesh and your upper right arm, and the interrogator says again, "Bekennen." You again refuse. Then you feel the pressure as he pushes the metal hard against your arm and pulls down. The fingers you saw before now dig into your skin, first scraping, then cutting, then ripping away the flesh from your bicep and your tricep. You are told over and over to confess your crimes, your sins. Confess to being a witch and starting the fire. You continue to refuse. The interrogator moves to your other arm, then several times down your back, ripping and tearing the flesh from your body, leaving long, jagged slices in your muscles and skin, peeling away strips of meat from your back and arms. This was the torture of the cat's paw.
The Schwarzwalde Kirschtort. Kirschtort.
Which sounds a lot like a regular cat's paw. Mm-hmm. If anybody who owns cats that have not had them, you know, declawed. Yeah.
I can see Schwarzwalde Kirschtort.
I currently have one in my house that I'm almost afraid to pet because at any one moment.
Come the wrong way. Where is he? There he is. Oh.
Yeah, he won't show up. He's part of the Sonic background. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Now, Loki, if she's in, like, heat, she'll come downstairs and she's all lovey, wants pet. But then you touch her wrong and she's like, next thing you know, you got pieces of skin laying on the fucking ground.
Yeah, I hear you. It's exact same as this one.
Yeah. Now, this device may remind you, if you've been with us since the beginning, of another device we covered years ago on our second episode, the Breast Ripper.
Exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah, same. That's what I, when I was reading through, I was like, oh, this seems interesting. I was reading through, I was like, I feel like we've done this one.
Yeah, the thing you use for making pulled pork.
Yeah, exactly. But when that breast ripper was used mostly on women, specifically the breasts, and you had the iron hooks that they attach to the wall, then they would drag you across. This one's more
still
of a...
got shorter single. <of that. laughs>
This one's more of just a single handheld device for this specifically. It gets used for a torture method to you know on its own, and it gets moved more to as a secondary use, like. A whip that way or a cane that they would use during the rack, just kind of hit you with it while they're stretching you, stuff like that. Yeah, we'll see that here.
That's cupped a little bit for his displeasure. And also go
just push right up in there.
Yeah, that's what we need to give your D&D character knows one of those for when he gets the gooch.
The old gooch stabber.
Yeah, just so he can get one up the bum, one straight into the gooch.
Modify Medea.
Yeah. Nice.
No matter if it's the cat's paw or the iron claw, it was called by the English speakers, the onus de fer, or griefs, it's called by the French, the ungula by the Romans, the guerre de ferrero by the Portuguese, the rastiro de hierro, or little iron rake by the Spanish, or the penza by the Ottomans, the device was almost always just a multi-pronged claw, often with three or five curved iron tines attached to a wooden or iron handle. Just a hand, a claw, a paw, whatever you would call it.
Well, you can make it out of any fence, any wrought iron fence they had.
You really can. There you go. But where did it come from? Well, for that, we travel back to around 177 CE during the persecutions of the Christians in Leon and Vienne. At the time, it was seen as subversive and seditious to not praise the Roman gods. So Christians were villainized by the people and the authorities. Go listen to our series on Nero if you want more on that. Now, Christians were rounded up. Mommy!
Yeah, he's like the ancient version of fucking Paul Bernardo.
Just sitting in prison. You know, Paul, you remind me a lot of another guy. You ever heard of Nero? He'd take it as a compliment.
He would. That's the thing.
He would. That's great. He did what to little children? That's fucking amazing. I love it. Now, Christians were rounded up and arrested. They were imprisoned, tied to stakes, and tortured with various instruments to extract confessions and demonstrate the power of the Roman authority. And when you need to torture a large number of people in quick succession, you need tools that are simple and effective. So the ungula, or hooves, because it kind of resembled a horse's hoof, was created. And it would be used deliberately and systematically for years to tear the flesh from men, women, and children. I didn't look into it too much to see if Nero ever used one, but this is kind of after Nero was already, you know, already made the horrible sacrifice of suicide. What will this world do without me? Don't get me started on that, motherfucker.
Well, the world functioned perfectly well without you.
Yeah, I think we're getting along all
you
right.
Gave, I mean, you gave we have us this... some entertainment for a couple of hours.
Yeah. You know,
that counts
for anything. We have the second iteration of him in the White House right now. Well, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what a dick.
You see, he's rolling back fuel requirements for vehicles now and how fuel efficient they have to be. It's like, oh, they don't need to be that fuel efficient anymore. We're gonna roll that back. Like, why? Why are you doing things to just be stupid? Why? Look, I mean, it's,
the guy's an idiot, right? You can watch the video of him back in 2016 giving out about the fact that the US government took money from, or gifts and stuff from,
yeah,
Qatar.
Uh-huh.
And then he just went over there and took an airplane off them. And like, he was giving out saying how stupid they were for doing it, and they're disgraceful that they do. And then he's like, well, why wouldn't you take it? It's free airplane. You're stupid people, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know. No.
Well, and his children made, his daughter and son-in-law made like $1 billion off the Saudis and everything. Like, it's like, well, isn't that conflict of interest where they should be? No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Get us started.
The guy's a dick. Anyway.
On this fucking idiot. Because holy shit. Its use was continued into the 4th century, where we see it implemented on St. Vincent of Saragossa, a deacon who served in Roman-ruled Hispania. In 303 to 304, Emperor Diocletian issued edicts against Christians across the empire. Vincent served under the Bishop Valerius, an elderly cleric who reportedly had a speech impediment. So Vincent as deacon, did much of the public preaching. When the crackdown began, Vincent and Valerius were arrested and taken to Valencia for trial. When the governor demanded the two surrender scriptures and worship the Roman gods, Vincent refused and spoke boldly in defense of Valerius. He was raked with the ungula, beaten, and burned, then thrown in a cell without any treatment for his wounds, and most likely died from his accumulated torture.
He killed by a little fork.
Well, and then he was beaten half to death and then set on fire a little bit.
That makes sense.
Shit like that. So, yeah, yeah. I think the little fork was just like icing on the cake.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Let the beardstruggle.com cream all over your beard.
What?
With the Beard Struggle's all new beard cream.
Oh, thank God.
Now everybody
can get nice and creamy.
I think what he means to say is that with ingredients like glycerin and shea butter, avocado and jojoba oils, it's perfect for everyone, anytime.
Night, day, hot, cold. You're going to get that cream.
Okay. And hyaluronic acid ensures deep hydration without the grease for a long beard or just some scruff.
Creamy scruff without the grease.
Dude, gotta stop. And as always, use our exclusive discount code TORTURE19 and take up to 19% off at checkout.
Getting creamy and taking it off.
Okay, we need to end this. TheBeardStruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your sexy, creamy fucking beard out.
Oh, boy. After the Western Roman Empire fell, most formal Roman judicial practices disappeared. Torture continued in some contexts, but there are few records of the ungula being used. In the Eastern Roman Byzantine Empire, some claw-like devices were still in use, but records are sparse, which is something we see a lot. We talked about it not too long ago about what was the other one that we had talked about a while back where they used it in the Roman Empire, and then it kind of disappeared and then showed back up. I cannot remember. It's honestly, it's gonna fucking kill me.
I'll look it up while you're talking at our some of our recent stuff.
All right. Now, but from the 8th...
I know what you're talking about as well as the worst thing, but
yeah, I cannot think for the life of me what it is. Now, from the 8th century to the 12th, as we discussed in our werewolf trials episode, that could be where it is, where we talked about it. No. Maybe. I don't know. As we discussed in our werewolf trial, this is, we're meandering, discussed in our werewolf trials episode, torture in courts was rare and fairly informal. There are very sporadic documented uses of the claw-like device being used in the execution of rebels and heretics, but they were usually just iron hooks or prongs improvised from farm or blacksmith tools. What we spoke about at the beginning of the episode, where you could just, you know.
Yeah, it's just use it for your garden.
Yeah. Did we talk? Is this in the beginning of the episode, or did we talk about that pre-episode?
That was pre-episode.
It was that pre-episode. go listen. Go to our Patreon. Sign up for a free week of our cult leader tier, and listen to the pre-episode where we actually.
Yeah, because I asked you about it before we did the intros merch and stuff. But it's like somebody was sitting in their garden, just, you know, starting out there.
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of types of flowers. You know, and then they're like, oh, what would happen if I ran this over somebody's arse?
Stocks and pillory. Stocks and pillory.
Oh, I went straight past stocks and pillory. I went and I was still scrolling. And I was like, is it the aspergillum? That's what I was thinking of.
Stocks and pillory they used in the Roman Empire. And then it kind of falls out of favor for a few years, and boom, shows back up. Claws the same way. But then as the European states and royal courts centralized and judicial torture became more systematic, the claw-like devices begin to reappear in places like France, Italy, and the Iberian Peninsula, Spain, Portugal. And by the 1400s, the iron claw, or cat's paw, would become a common tool in the torturer's handy bag of tricks. The victim was usually stripped and bound, often to a vertical frame or trestle. The torturer would then rake the cat's paw across the skin, tearing muscle and tissue. However, in more severe applications, the executioner heated the claw in a brazier, so the victim was both burned and torn, a combination that prevented easy healing and maximized agony. Another thing that we talked about in the breast ripper episode.
I can just imagine him bringing it in. And all he hears, ooh, the claw.
The claw knows all. You have been chosen. Yay! And then the person is, I have been chosen. Oh, my God! Stop choosing me. Don't choose me anymore. That's great. And it would be used for a variety of crimes and sentences, anything from blasphemy and heresy to murder, conspiracy, and witchcraft. Take the story of François Villon. Born sometime around 1431 or 1432 in Paris, he was orphaned as a young boy and taken in by a priest and educated at the University of Paris. However, despite his scholarly upbringing, François soon became involved in the criminal underworld on the streets of old Paris. Becoming a thief as well as a poet, writing poetry that reflected his experiences of crime and punishment.
So finding French.
Him, it's a very French thing to do.
Yeah.
So rob people and then write poetry about it.
Le thief. Yeah, sorry for me.
And the women just eat it up.
Yeah,
he's a bad boy, well, but he's got a sensitive side.
Little shitty mustaches and a fucking cigarette the whole time and coffee.
He's got the big mustache and then the little thing of hair right there. Yeah, very Cyrano de Bergerac. Now, finding himself in and out of prison several times, and in 1455, he, along with a small gang of other thieves, decided to break into the house of a wealthy citizen. They stole money, clothing, and jewelry, as you do. But one of the residents of the home was physically assaulted. So this went from a robbery to an assault. The authorities suspected a larger criminal network, and François, already known for his criminal activity, was soon arrested and imprisoned in the Grand Châtelet prison. He was sentenced to interrogation under torture to force a confession and identify accomplices. This included the honnête de fer, or iron nails. He was strapped to a bench with some or some wooden frame with arms extended. He was asked who his accomplices were, and then the claw would be raked down his arms, shoulders, and back, tearing the skin and subcutaneous tissue. Accounts suggest this lasted multiple sessions over hours with minimal treatment to the wounds, probably just enough to keep him alive and conscious. Now, Francois would survive this treatment with bruising, lacerations, and scarring, and this punishment would be referenced in his poetry as "De curla aux orhon de fer," or "torn with iron nails." I'm sure our French listeners are going, "Well, that's not right." It's the best my Midwestern tongue can do, all right? Fuck you. Letters in your words. Stop skipping over here. Letters.
I'll do it here. Ready?
Yeah.
Le pa 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 pa. There you go. That's it.
Perfect.
You know, the worst thing is if they didn't go, like, digging that thing in, if you just kind of, you know, that with it, it'd be, like, the nicest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. Like those fucking things that you put on your head. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, God. I love that shit. That put me to sleep.
or just, like, I got an itch. I know you're busy, but if you could just, like, go, like, 3 inches to the right.
It's a traveling itch. Get it down lower.
How's that? Yeah, no, that's much better, thank you.
Just, hey, look, there ain't no skin left. It ain't going to itch.
He gave the confession they were looking for and continued his criminal activities in the years afterwards. He didn't learn his lesson. He just kept going. Now, I do have...
He's too French and too much of a devilish rogue.
Yeah.
Is he to learn his lessons and was just too much women? Like, you know, he's like, you know, first you write the poem, then you get the women.
Then you first, get the power. First you do the crime, then you write the poem, then you get the women. Then you get the power, then you get the women. You gotta think of it. There's only 3 things in this world I love: thievery, poetry, and if I have time, wine.
Yeah,
I love wine. French.
Little tiny mustaches.
little cubes of cheese on the baguette. Now, I do have to say that there are some, actually a lot, that take his poetry as more symbolic rather than literal. In the poem Ballad of the Hanged, he describes what happens to the bodies of men hanged in the public gallows. In some editions, the phrase "ogne de fer" is used to describe imagery of, quote, bodily rending by birds, wind, and randomness. So there is a chance that he wasn't actually clawed, but he was using the iron claw as symbolism for the beaks and talons of birds tearing away at the flesh of those who are hanged. So
sounds like he's full of shit to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of conflicting information about the cat's paw, the iron claw, whatever the fuck you want to call it, on the internet. It would be one of those things where I would look it up and a story would come up, and then I'd look up and be like, did this actually happen? And they'd be like, well, no.
Yeah, it's just some asshole sitting there going, this fork looks cool, that'd be cool torture device. Well, Wikipedia page.
Funny you should say that. We'll get to it in a little bit. Yeah, I mean, you're following right along, man. You really are. I mean, it's
a gardener's Iron Maiden. That's what it is.
It's funny you should bring up somebody creating Wikipedia pages. And we will get to that near the end of the episode.
I'm going to make one right now.
Go ahead. It'll get deleted. I can tell you that. Now, as public displays of torment became more common, the paw would be used for public humiliation, tearing flesh from the body to entertain a crowd. Or it would be used as a preliminary torture before more severe devices like the rack, strappado, or the wheel, 3 devices we have covered extensively. Like, During the Holy Roman Empire in the 1400s, once a prisoner was immobilized on the rack or suspended by the arms of the strappado, the torturer, who was supervised and sometimes advised on where to use it by the city physician as to not permanently cripple the prisoner, would drag the claw, sometimes called the Katzenpfuft, the Krallen, the Eisenklauen, or the Hocken, across the upper torso, shoulders, thighs, and upper arms, typically avoiding the face and groin by legal requirements. Wounds that risk tendon or bone damage were also discouraged because the law required the suspects to remain alive and interrogable. Because of the Bamberg Criminal Code, which stated torture must be procedurally regular, medically supervised, and justified by strong suspicion as a means for uncovering hidden truth, and then later under the Constitutio Criminalis Carolina, or the criminal law issued by Charles V, any confession given had to be, and I'm doing this in giant quote, air quotes, voluntary, so the claw would be used, pause for questioning, if the answers were unsatisfactory, the clawing would commence. Did he voluntarily give up this confession?
So
you're going to have to expand your definition of the word voluntarily.
I see. So if they gave an answer while in the middle of being tortured with the device, then it wouldn't count.
Yeah. So as we had talked about before, torture back in this time, in what is known as the early modern period, pretty much 1400s to the 1800s. They kept records. They had to have somebody in there. They'd have probably a judge or a magistrate in there with them, a records keeper, and a doctor to make sure they didn't go too far, because if somebody dies, they can't give a confession.
So just imagine them sitting there doing like Simpsons, to be like trying to document it. It's like in Egypt, like do the eye thing, squiggly line, guy standing there doing this.
Just hieroglyphics. So they would be on the rack or hung in the strappado or whatever, and they'd be using the claw. And the second they would start to give a confession, they would immediately have to stop what they were doing, give them a breath. Because if they confessed in the middle of active torture, technically it's not voluntary.
I got tortured. I did it! And it's like, stop! I didn't say anything.
Yes, I did it! Oh, wait, can you say that again? Say what?
No.
What you just said. I don't know what you're talking about. they go again. Nope, I did it! Nope. Sorry, nope. Just back and forth. Yeah, I can see somebody doing that. So yeah, they would have to stop. Somebody would have to be there to record it. It would have to be, please repeat what you said. You know, give us, you know, a long confession, all that stuff. But it had to be, you know, quote-unquote voluntary. You know, it couldn't, you know. Voluntary as in, if you don't confess, I will smash your toe with this hammer. Voluntary. Yeah, so voluntary. That's voluntary. Did he do it voluntarily? Technically, I hadn't hit him yet. Technically, sure. Now, in southern France, it was seen as an ordinary part of the, quote, escalating degrees of torment permitted during the question. Northern France used it less frequently, but did keep it in its torture inventory, especially larger cities like Paris, because of the 1670 Ordonnance Criminelle, the major nationwide reform of criminal procedure under Louis XIV. The French interrogations followed a pattern of water torture first, then the griefs, or the claw, then our old friend, Das Boot.
They used to just leave a little bit of cheese on the end of the claw, you see, for snacking on in between. That's all it was. And then you have a big bucket of cheese there, and they just go, dunk, take it out.
You need to confess, I had to get home to my Jerry Lewis marathon. That used to be a big thing, like the French loved Jerry Lewis, and it kind of went away. I don't know, it was a big joke in the 90s. All the French, they love their Jerry Lewis. They love their old Jerry Lewis movies. And that just kind of went away.
I don't know who that is.
Jerry Lewis? You know Jerry Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know Jerry Lewis.
Dean and Jerry. Yeah, you know Jerry Lewis. Yeah. Now, use would continue into the 18th century, where it would slowly be restricted across Europe. The 1740s, 1760s saw France and Germany use devices like the cat's paw less and less, until 1776, when France officially abolished judicial torture and the Holy Roman Empire followed suit just a few years later. Now, by the 1800s, the iron claw survived only in museum collections and is no longer used in any formal European judicial system. All this talk of, well, it was used during the Inquisitions and all this stuff. Technically, no. There's no actual evidence to show that it was ever used in the Inquisition, because I think people don't realize about the Inquisition is that it was actually against the rules for torturers to quote-unquote spill blood. That's why a lot of the tools that they used were more stretching and beady type stuff.
You know, wow.
They could brand
this is also
anything,
educational. But... Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thought?
Yeah. We finally now... learned something today.
I've been waiting years. Now, as far as it being known as the Spanish tickler, well, that ended up being a little more modern, with the first mention of it in a December 15th, 2005 Wikipedia article created by a user named Andioke. I believe it's Andioke, which was deleted at some point later, after it is exposed as being false. It wasn't called the Spanish Tickler. Obviously, there are websites that will say, oh, they called this the Spanish Tickler to make it sound like it was used during the Spanish Inquisition as a propaganda tool. But honestly, nobody ever really called
exotic
it the Spanish Tickler.
And
yeah, I think that's what he did. I think this guy, this Andioke, or whatever his fucking name is, took a sex device.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, suppose he didn't call it something like Chinese back scratcher or... something like that, you know, or
ooh, oriental and exotic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got to be dangerous.
We've never seen that before. Yeah. But honestly, that's all I got. I searched and searched and searched, and there's really not a whole lot about it, unless you want to go online and buy one.
That's all we have today, folks, on the South Korean salad maker.
The fact that you brought up Wikipedia, when it was literally somebody...
See, the
literally
worst thing is I never really ask in advance as to what it is that we're doing again after you've told me before and I forget.
Yeah.
And I usually go looking up stuff during the episode to be able to reference something at the end. And when I found that there was nothing there, that's when I was like, what the fuck's going on here? You know, so... Yeah.
Yeah, there's barely anything. Now, this was a real tool that was used. Don't think that the Wikipedia article changed that, but nobody called it the Spanish Tickler. And actually, that's the whole reason we hadn't covered it sooner. I wanted to cover this a while back, but when I started looking into it, I saw it was something that wasn't actually real. It was created a Wikipedia article, so I kind of put it on the back burner. And then I was, you know, we had covered some stuff that it wasn't not a whole lot of blood and gore, and I was like, let's get a little bloody with it. I pulled this up and I was like, I'm gonna look further into it. Turns out that the iron claw, the cat's paw, was real. Spanish tickler, however, it was never called that.
Anywhere you look it up, it says Spanish tickler, all because some fucking dickhead
made it from 2005. Right. So, and I would say, Dan, any pop culture, but I have a feeling not going to have a whole lot.
Any gardening shows? that'd be about it, really. I'm looking up here. I was just like, somebody put up a what's supposed to be a picture of it, but it's actually the breast ripper that they have up. So
yeah, yeah, it's really stupid. I mean, it's almost the exact same thing, but I wanted to make the distinction because I don't want to make the breast ripper sound like it's less than what it is, because of something that was used almost exclusively on women to take away their femininity, and it was a horrible thing. And this was mostly just used for an interrogation tactic. So they're extremely similar, almost to the point where they are the exact same thing, but they are used for two different reasons. So
yeah, I found a nice image here. It's not actually Yvonne, but there's one person in this picture that you have to look at, right? Let me see now. Hopefully he appears in a... Damn it, he's not in a property. It's this guy.
Yeah.
It looks like in the full image, he's like, who does number two work for? So...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There it is. Oh, right across the nipple. Oof, yeah. Boy, that's got to stick.
Filthy bastards.
Oh, fuck. Well, thank you to our patrons, Williquin Fowler, Sam. I'm going to get this right. I pronounced a lot of weird names today. We're going to get Bears. Bears. B-R-E-A-R-S. I want to say it's Bears with two R's, but apparently that's wrong.
It's probably like that Afrikaans thing where it says all clicks. Sam.
And MCAT. You can sign up as well at patreon.com/torturepod. Again, 1 week of our cult leader tier for free. If you want to go listen to the before show, the after show, we do talk quite extensively about D&D, movies, music, making merch out of gardening tools and selling them as torture devices, stuff like that. But, you know, it's just conversation with two good friends. Connect with us at the socials at TorturePod. Email TorturePod@gmail.com. You can donate at buymeacoffee.com/TorturePod. Redbubble.com/people/TorturePod for the merch. All Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project. Go rate and review wherever you can. Leave comments. If you can, you can leave comments on Spotify. We've been having somebody named Daniel. I thought it was you for a little bit. Apparently it's not. Who has been leaving comments kind of consistently. Daniel, if you're out there listening, really appreciate it. Keep them coming. Everybody else go in there. Keep adding more. Good or bad, we find the bad ones hilarious. We will talk about them. And the good ones are always, you know, nice to hear.
And next week, we're covering the Hungarian horse flipper, which is just a little garden spade.
It's a hoe. It's just a hoe. Speaking of hoes, I watched House of Wax last night. Paris Hilton was in it.
Never seen it.
It's good. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I had put off watching it for a long time, specifically because she was in it, and I thought it'd be horrible. And she
that's the exact reason I didn't watch it. Yeah.
She actually doesn't do too bad of a job
she's been acting her entire life. So.
Yeah, pretty much as she's been acting as a person her entire life, which she's not.
I mean, apparently as an idiot, that's all a persona or something.
2025, and we're coming with the Paris Hilton hate. That coming? That's a much early 2000s thing to do. I don't know why we're doing it now. Hint for our next episode.
Von Dutch jeans.
The long-awaited return of a torture tradition. Before we get to words of wisdom, I look up our Spotify Wrapped, and our numbers are all up with listener hours, listeners, period. We're like 12 people's number one podcast on Spotify, which I think is fucking insane. That's cool. I understand 12 is a small number, but to be their number one, and it's not me.
It's not me either.
I don't listen to this show. I have to edit it, write it, and edit it. I don't listen to it otherwise. And I think it's like 70 some odd people were in their top 5, 100 some odd people were in their top 10. To me, that's ridiculous. That's fucking fantastic. The part that stuck out to me the most was then they take the people who listen to this show And then they put it with, well, what other things do they listen to musically? And Dan, do you know who are the number one artist for people who listen to this show is?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor fucking Swift. Followed
See what we're doing for you, Taylor? That's what it is. We're getting people to go to there from our earlier episodes.
Well, because they listen to the episode, and then they listen to Taylor Swift to see if they can find any songs with torture in them so they can send them to us and be like, hey, here's a song that Taylor covered.
I'm going to see, does she do a song about gardening?
You till up my life, or till up my heart. Who knows? Number two was Drake, which is, yeah. Morgan Wallen's in there, too. It's like, if you listen to Morgan Wallen, I don't feel like you would listen to this show because we have two vastly different opinions on things.
Strange.
To each their own. No, I've listened to a couple times who I really enjoy. Chapel Roan. You ever listen to her?
No.
Pony Club.
I know that one.
That's one of those songs that I'll sing it over and over and over again, and it'll just get weirder the more I sing it because I take like the words. And I don't change the word itself, like how it's spelled. I change the structure of it. I like break it. So at the beginning, this is like a half an hour process. At the beginning of it, it's just Pink Pony Club. And then by the end of it, I'm just going, what kind of autism is that, Dan? What kind of ADHD is that diagnosed as, Dan?
It's all of it.
It's all of it at once. It's like a Mr. Burns goes, you have every disease. So I'm immortal.
Oh, actually, speaking of that, I was watching this funny video earlier. It's this thing where it's like things that people with ADHD can't explain. And like, I cook a lot. The guy's cooking, and he's like, right, so first step is put the oil in, and then I got to go to this, and then he gets distracted. He turns around, and he's like, oh, the oil. Oh, wait, the oil's already in. Okay. And he turns around, so what's next? Oh, I was doing that. Okay. Yeah, so he's doing that. And then he starts doing this sort of thing, and he's standing there, he's like, oh, I didn't turn the heat on. Okay. And he's like, the oil's still out. Did I use the oil yet? And he's like, yeah, okay. And then he's like, shit, I was supposed to put the meat in first. Better get a new pan out. And that's me constantly, like every goddamn time.
I see the one where it's how to keep a person with ADHD on track, and he just ties a rope to the stove.
Nice.
And he's cooking. He's like, oh, you know that one thing, and it pulls him back. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm cooking.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough that I don't get that distracted, but I just forget steps all the time. Like, I tend to, the amount of times I was cooking something the other day, and I think I went through something like 6 spoons. Where I kept using it for the same thing again and again. I kept just throwing it into like the sink or throwing it in something.
Yeah.
And then I went back and got another one then. And I realized, oh, hold on. Reuse one. But then now it's in the sink with all the dirty stuff. So I was like, okay. It kept happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do that type of shit all the time. It's fine. Yeah. It really does get debilitating after a while.
Thank God I have so many spoons.
Anyway. So many spoons. Where all the spoons go? I kept eating flour. Well, that's the one you keep in your pocket.
Yeah, well, that's apparently
the one in your pocket.
Apparently, there's a whole thing about having a favorite one. We have like 3 different types, and there's definitely a particular one that I prefer.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of.
Hate using your.
This is autism talk with Dan and Kevin.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that in the
this
after
is
show.
A torture
go sign
element.
Up on a Patreon. Yeah, go sign up our Patreon so you can listen to more banter about spoons. All right, Dan. Any words of wisdom? We never even got to that part.
Don't ever sing We Are Family in an orphanage.
And with that.
On that note.
With that. Take care of yourselves and take care of one another. We'll see you.
We are family.
And it just turns into for no reason.
today's episode is brought to you by podup.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. Podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So,
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D threw it in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know a thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
And of those that do get started and pass that 3-episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. Though sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, 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 all the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all the software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like opposite of a square.
That's right. There
you go. So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
Podup.com, the ultimate podcasting platform.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.